Hello and welcome to the Fit for Life podcast with your host, Alan Fitton. In this podcast, I will be covering fitness-related subjects and my experiences to do with nutrition, building muscle and weight loss, to name a few, and how, above all, to keep fit for life. Hello guys, welcome back to the Fit for Life podcast with your host, Alan Fitton. We've got a part two with my good friend, Matthew Fearon, today.
Hello.
How are you doing?
How was the gig?
It was good.
Who'd you go and see?
Linkin Park.
What year? Trivia. What year were they formed?
Well, someone told me that they were formed in 1996.
Right, I was born in 1984, right? Yeah. What I'd give to B12 again. Cheers, mate. 10 quid. I said it first.
I did.
I win 10 quid. Set you up for that one.
You did?
I did. Hook, line and sinker. I'd be planning that for days.
You're not lying either, are you?
I'd plan that for
days.
We
always have conversations that we overly talk about the vitamin B12. So we made a joke and I said, right, whoever says B12 first in the podcast gets 10 quid. We have to give the other person 10 quid. So I joked and he went, oh, you won't do that. And I went, it's my podcast, I'll do what I want. So he's just come up with
that's
this.
That's factually correct as well.
I get it. It's
I was good. 12 years old when Linkin Park were formed.
Great.
Yeah, it took me 2 days to come up with that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Pass me that later. Cheers, mate. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, the concert was great, thank you.
It
was
good.
As you said, I've gone to go and see Linkin Park and it was absolutely phenomenal. Euphoric, I think, more to the point. It was mental. Yeah. But yeah, but we're back in the seat today with Captain Crack Sparrow.
Yeah.
How you been?
I've been injured, haven't I?
You have?
I've been crippled. I wasn't walking 2 weeks ago, but should we talk about peptides straight away or not?
Not quite yet.
Let's do a bit later on.
Maybe a bit later if we get
time. We'll address
time.
That later.
We were on a bit of a time for injury
yeah,
today.
No problem.
Today we're talking about the bits that you didn't want to talk about last time. because you just don't have much interest in it.
Music.
Yeah, that's the one. But interestingly, you're doing a bit of work at the moment, releasing a few little bits here and there. So it's obviously, you haven't got as much other stuff going on in your life at the moment, because last time you were doing Matty's like daily DIY, weren't you?
You're right.
I was.
And
yeah.
I remember watching the podcast and I said in it that after I've done the DIY, I would start working on an album. So
yeah,
I wouldn't get interrupted. And I'm actually at that point now.
You're working on the album.
I didn't remember saying that until I watched it.
Yeah.
So my plan's working, even though I wasn't consciously aware of it.
No. But because of the way you... because the way you are, yeah. You can really work on one thing at a time, can't you?
That's correct, yeah. So, no interruption. This is, by the way, you can't see him, but this is the Wish.com version of Joe Rogan, obviously. And we've got the Wish.com version of Jamie over there. He's laughing away. And I'm obviously the Wish.com version of Johnny Depp.
Captain Crack Sparrow.
And he's cracking up over there.
He's gone.
My goal is to make him giggle. I give him a hard time editing. Right.
Because his job isn't hard enough, is it?
No.
No.
Go for it.
I'm used to this is my second time, so I'm a bit more customised to it. So anyway, so should we hop a bit into your music, mate?
Do it, yeah.
So I know we tickled it a little bit on the last one, didn't we?
Slightly.
We gave it a tickle, but we didn't really go that much into it because, as I said, at the current moment, we didn't really care much.
And you also didn't know much about it either. You learned something today.
I did.
And you can ask me about that in a bit as well.
I will. I'll bring it up.
Yeah.
So, so going into, obviously, your career in music, you've been in it for, what, 20 years?
I'm 40 now, believe it or not. 23 years professionally, yeah.
23 years, okay, I'm off by three. So what was your first significant experience that made you realise that music was your calling?
First significant experience music was my calling. I always knew I would do music as a living. Everyone said, how would you do that? And I said, I don't know. But age 17, I said to my mum, I'm going to go busking. And she said, don't do that. That's when I knew. Go do that.
Go do that.
So I did it.
Go do exactly the opposite.
I did it. And I came in with 80 quid, age 17, thinking, I'll never need a job again. Brilliant. Never listen to mum ever again.
And that was it.
Yeah. Awesome.
The rest is history.
So I just fall back on busking if there's no gigs. Simple as that.
But your gigs, you've become a lot busier lately with your gigs and stuff, haven't you? You're like really, I think the past 24 months, you really.
I've got to say, shout out to Joanne Lamb, the agent, because I had no gigs this weekend, and I told her before, and she got me two gigs.
Did she?
Yeah. She was asking why I was so skint, and I said cocaine and hookers, and I got two gigs.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out, thank you very much.
So can you describe what the early stages of your career were like and what major challenges you had to overcome?
apart from ADHD and cancer.
Yeah. Well, that was prior. Oh. That was after.
Yeah. I was actually in the Sandgrounders. You'll know the Sandgrounders.
I do know the Sandgrounders. I know Gordon Halsall very well.
Yeah, I said Jordan. Gordon Halsall, because you used to play with him when you were little, didn't you?
And Alan was... You guys are right. You need to take a time out. You okay? You want some ventilation?
I'm doing this on purpose to him, guys. Right. I was in the Sandgrounders. And
Alan Barton was my guitar teacher.
Yeah. I think everyone's been in the Sandgrounders, haven't they? Of significance.
I am.
Have you ever been in the Sandgrounders?
I came and watched you.
Point proven. Everyone of significance has been in the Sandgrounders. I used to wear leather pants. And do the Cliff Richard songs. That's when I knew I was going to be a solo artist and in a band. It's great. Shout out to Bruce Feeney. He was a great guy. Do you know him, the drummer?
I do remember him.
Uncle Fester.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
Funny guy.
He had a personality larger than life. And that's
I still speak to him.
Yeah.
He lives in the offshore, Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh, wow. Oh. Mm. So he moved away. But that's where we got on the topic at last cast of you making a swan out of a tea towel. No, a chicken out of a tea towel.
Chicken.
Because I watched some of your old YouTube videos on the tours and that. Mm. And that's where I saw you perform.
Yeah, so I was with the Barry White band, the Popsy Williams. He actually died, believe it or not. The tribute to Barry White died, which caused a bit of a problem, but, you know, props to him.
Yeah. Mm.
Good man.
So, going back to the question.
Yeah, what was the question?
Was there any challenges you had to overcome when you, other than your mum saying no?
Any challenges to overcome?
When you first get into it?
Interesting question. Only when working with bands, never on my own. Yeah. Absolutely fine on my own, yeah. Working with bands is a nightmare. So that's the only thing I'll say about that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I toured Russia once for a month with a band, no joke. Do you know Mike Smith?
I do.
Player?
Yeah.
He was with me as well.
Went to my school.
Yeah. So we're in like a Beatles band. And we got thrown off the train from the wrong visas at gunpoint and taken to somewhere near Chernobyl. True story. And there was a woman with an eye halfway down her face selling fish. I'm not making this up. There's a little fella with a little family running around the train station begging for bread. So I got back to England after that month, kissed the floor, and I thought, solo artist. I mean, that was a challenging tour, if that's what you mean. Mm. Yeah, I overcame that.
Right.
That was rough.
That's a bad time.
That was rough.
Was that one of your first, or?
Rough, like tours, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, a month in the UK and Russia was rough, yeah.
Right.
It was politically intense at the time. Oh, not as intense as now, but yeah. But it was, yeah, it was rough.
Okay. Mm. So just going back a little bit. So yeah, obviously you went to school, you're 17, you just went busking. So prior to being 17, have you always just had a voice? Have you had to work at getting a voice, or just been like you've been able to sing and you just had that talent there?
Well, as you remember in the last podcast, I did tell you the answer to this question. I couldn't actually sing, and that's why I'm now a singer. It's the one thing I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Just stubborn.
So you had no like tone to your voice at all. It was all just from practice.
It's very monotone. It still is.
But the video I just watched of you on the John Lewis thing that we talked about a minute ago that we'll go into a bit later.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your tone and everything and the octaves, everything is like to perfection.
Is it?
So.
Right.
Is that just because you're not self-aware of how good you are? Or is that just because of the time you put into practicing?
Never practiced, just busking, and then I just gradually improved every year.
Okay.
And I've reached the point now where it's like, yeah, it's starting to go down a bit.
Okay.
But that's life, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was just because you're overly critical of yourself.
No, I'm just 40. Okay. It's as simple as just that. Just a number. Your voice is just...
Yeah?
Yeah, vocal trouble.
Okay.
But it's all cool.
Okay. So who would you say that were your biggest influences when you were starting out? And have they shaped like what you do musically because of who your influences were? Or
The Verve.
Yeah.
Next question.
Is that it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
They were like the main influence, yeah.
Anyone else?
And that's why I look like this.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was heavily into The Verve, yeah. Obsessed in high school.
Right.
And yeah, that was it.
Who's the first album that you bought then? Verve?
The first album I ever bought?
Yeah.
I can answer this very, very well. It was Hanson, Umbop. Umbop.
Yeah.
Da, da. No, it could have been Hush.
Oh, shoot.
Covered by...
I just clicked onto what that was then.
So not the purple thingy one, but covered by that band. Dinga Dinga. Hush, hush. What's that band called? Hush.
I mean, I can Google it right now. What's the song called?
My name now. It's called Hush. Hush.
Hush.
Cool Shaker.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool Shaker.
Cool Shaker, yeah.
Oh, cool, okay.
Yeah, that's the first single I bought, I think. Or it was Hanson Umbop.
My first tape cassette I was bought by my mother was Spice Girls, Spice Up Your Life.
Which one?
Spice Girls.
Is that an album or a single?
It was a cassette.
A cassette?
I'd fallen off my bike and smashed my face into a wall.
Is that why?
And taken the whole skin off my face. And mum bought me a personal cassette player. I'd just broken up for school holidays. And she bought me Spice Girls. Yeah, but with Spice Girls, I was the first.
Would you say that sort of shaped your personality?
I think it could have done, you know. I think it could have formed me into who I am.
It explains a lot.
Yeah, it could. Yeah. It really could.
Yeah.
Changed my life forever.
Yeah, I was just trying to think about anything else that I bought. I did have a blues album.
Blues and rhythm.
Yeah, with BB King and stuff on it.
Yeah.
I used to listen to. There was just compilation albums.
Clapton?
Not really. I don't like him. I don't like Eric Clapton. If you YouTube it, not many people do. It's disliked.
Because of personality, just because of his music?
I never met him, mate.
Okay.
Wouldn't know. All the rest is here, saying it.
Mm.
Right, let's go on the next question. Okay. I've completely run out of what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
How would you say that your sound and approach to music has evolved over your 23 years? Would you say it's changed now in comparison?
Say that again.
How has your approach to music changed or evolved over the past 23 years?
Are we talking about recording or writing or all performing?
Of it. Like, all of it. Like,
how has it changed? Stage persona, without a doubt.
In what way?
I started off with no stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. Just me singing, eyes closed, saying nothing. People started saying... You need to start saying things.
Mm-hmm.
They now regret that because
you can't shut you up.
I've evolved into this creature that can. If there's a pub full of drunk people, if I'm sober with a stage persona, they can't get to it.
Right,
destroy the room.
Yeah, but that's just a wall. I guess you put up because of performing in those situations. So you've had to adapt.
I enjoy it as well. Yeah. It becomes like a separate entity,
yeah.
and it says things that I shouldn't say.
Fair enough. You can stop there then.
Yes, yes. So stage persona
is
the only thing that's really changed, yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Mm.
And
looks as well.
Yeah.
I started off quite large. I wanted to look more like a rock star.
Yeah.
So mission accomplished.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And what would you say is the most memorable moment in your music career so far? I'm guessing it'll be that thing you got to do with The Verve, that recording you got to do. Would you say that is it? Or
yeah, at the moment I got the guitar parts from Seem to Be Called Rainbow. Yet to be released, but it will be. When I got that back from him and heard it.
Next level.
Best moment ever. Because I was also really high. So it was enhanced. It was great. Yeah. Euphoric.
What about, would you say that the John Lewis thing that you told me about a minute ago was like a close number two?
No.
No, that'd be a good time to get into that, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that, but let's tell the story.
What's
you,
that?
You need to lead me into the story of the John Lewis advert.
I need to lead you into the story?
Yeah, yeah.
I do?
Yeah, yeah.
This is pressure.
I know, that's why I'm doing it.
Go for it. You've had enough talking.
Yeah, go for it.
A woman heard you busking, didn't she?
There was a John Lewis advert, The Bear and the Hare. Do you remember that? How old are you?
30.
30. Yeah, 30. Yeah, yeah. So you will have been 18 at the time. Is that right? Yeah, so The Bear and the Hare, Lily Allen, John Lewis advert, Somewhere Only We Know. Great advert, I loved it. I hate adverts, I loved that one. Went out busking in Leicester in the rain. A woman approached me, she said, John Lewis are doing a competition for somebody to sing it on Christmas Day. And I was like, I'm not really into that. But she said, you can come and busk in the John Lewis store. So I did that. I was earning big bucks in the John Lewis store, like 100 quid an hour.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Don't tell the Inland Revenue. 100 quid an hour. It was awesome. Because they're all rich, aren't they, John Lewis? So I got the lyrics up to the song, stuck it on the floor, sang it once, filmed it, sent it in. An hour before the deadline, AJHD. Won it. A week later, I'm in London doing it. A week after that, it's on the TV. Yeah.
Crikey.
It was as simple as that.
It's truth.
Yeah.
And you can find it on YouTube, can't you?
Yeah, but it wasn't enjoyable for me, that. It was weird.
Weird in what way?
I got a taste of fame and I realised that I don't want that.
Bit like awful. It.
People's faces change. They're like dead happy to see you, smiling. And then, because they think you're something. And then 2 weeks later, when it's all died down, the same faces go back to how they were. So if you were famous, you see a false. You go around seeing false people everywhere.
Yeah.
It would bend your reality.
Yeah.
It explains Michael Jackson.
Or you want to know you because of the fame and the wisdom.
Mm.
It's quite sad, really, isn't it?
I'd have to, like, if I was famous, I'd have to be...
Would you do a seer? Or cover your face?
No, no. Why cover up this? I don't mind being well-known, but not fame. No. You know, not celebrity status.
No. That's about being well-known in the area, is it?
It's bad enough on Chapel Street, walking down Chapel Street. I have to live stream myself walking down Chapel Street, hoping that no one will talk to me. It's that bad.
As a distraction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. So, getting into music now.
Go for it.
Although, to be honest, it's kind of indicative of what the first question I asked you, if I'm completely honest.
What does it say?
It says, what first drew you to music? So it's not actually performing, it's just what drew you to music as a whole.
No, I was already playing piano first. Nothing drew me to music. I just happened to be doing it, so.
Was that by beginning from your mother? You doing piano, or was that?
Yeah, I'd be jumping on, out of choice. On the organ to annoy them, but I was picked it up dead easy.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So you see, we'd say you've always just been musical.
Yeah, picked it up really, really quick. Good at it, so.
Piano and then guitar?
Piano, then guitar. As I said, Trevor Jones from last time. Mm-hmm. And then I realised I couldn't sing, but I wanted to, so I started doing that. First band I was in was called Nebula, or Nebulae. We never quite worked it out. Fronted them for a bit.
Yeah.
That is busking. And just went from there. Simple.
So you've already kind of covered, you didn't have any formal training, did you? You were self-taught in the beginning, weren't you?
From age 4 to 10, self-taught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did your friends and family react when you started like pursuing music properly? Did you get people supporting you? Did you get people just left you to it? Or in the beginning?
This bit's going to be cut out because I'm going blank now. I've got no memory of anything back then.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
We can skip. We can skip the question. It's not a big deal.
I don't remember anything about that.
No.
I just didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't give a crap, do I? I don't think about what other people support me. Not.
No.
I just do it anyway, don't I?
You do, yeah, yeah. Yeah, which is good. It's a good thing to it's a good way to be.
So maybe they were supportive and I didn't notice, you see. I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe skip that one.
Okay.
It didn't No answer.
That's fine. There's no right or wrong answer. You know what I mean? So what is your so when you're writing your song or you're composing music, what's your creative process like?
That is an absolutely impossible question to answer. It's like saying, where do you get your ideas from?
Yeah. But so where do they come from? That's what I'm asking. Is it a dream? Is it something you see? Is it just pops into your head? Is it like...
Have you heard of Norm Macdonald, the comedian?
Who?
Norm Macdonald.
No.
He died, but he's my favourite comedian. One of his jokes is he asks one of his guests, well, his sidekick asks the guest, where'd you get your ideas from? Because it's an impossible question to answer.
Mm.
They just come from inside in your head, don't they? No one knows where they come from.
No.
They just pop in.
But I guess the point is that some people are musically gifted, so your ideas that made pop come to you, other people may have really like walls and really struggles in the creative process where...
There's no right or wrong way of doing it.
No.
You just do it. Yeah. Don't think.
No. Yeah. We just say that emotional things you're going through at the time helps you with like the creative process. So if you're struggling in so much way emotionally, you've got some trauma going on in life or whatever, would you say that it comes easier to you to write something? That's quite a deep question.
No, it's impossible. Just you can't go write a song.
No.
It just happens spontaneously. Yeah. You don't know it's coming, it just occurs.
It goes.
Yeah. It's not a thing you can...
The thing you can manufacture, like
yeah, it's not thing you can conceptualize. Like, how would you write a song? It's impossible to comprehend. I used to in my first album, Cares in the Sky, when I was called Matt Belcher back then. Do you know I was called Matt Belcher originally?
It rings a bell.
Yeah, that was my name. You see,
Cares
in the Sky. I'd write the music first, record it before even doing a melody or the lyrics. Then I'd sing a melody over the top. And just sing gibberish into it. Listen back, and I pick out little bits of gibberish and make them into words. And then somehow, I'd put more words in it. It'd just create a story that made sense. Just connect the dots. Mm.
Interesting.
That was back then. These days, it's just whatever pops out.
Okay.
There's no... I can't answer it.
No. Okay.
When I was age 25, I can answer it. MDMA.
I think that's probably what a lot of bands and groups did, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say it, but I wrote my best songs on MDMA. Yeah.
Interesting.
Seems to be called Rainbow, Dreamcatcher. Big fans of mine will know these songs, but they've never been released. Yeah. Addicted to Heart is about being addicted to MDMA. Great tune, not being released yet. Judgmental, another song written on MDMA. About people judging me for taking MDMA to write songs. It's layered.
Thank you.
It's a good tune. I might do it later.
Cool.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. We might as well perform one of his songs and we can put it into the cast.
Mm. Or maybe two.
Yeah. So we're going to hop into a bit more about your busking experiences now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the saucy stuff. So what made you decide to start busking and how did that influence your growth as an artist? Would you say it was like an important part of you?
I just decided to go busking, as I said earlier on. I said to my mum, I'm going to go busking. There's a guy, and his last name is Glenn something or other, I forgot his name. So Paul. I think he's called Paul. I saw him busking David Gray down Cambridge Walks, when I will have been about 16, he was busking Babylon.
Babylon.
Yeah. And I thought, that's quite cool, that. I want to do that. So age 17, I thought, right, I'm going to go busking tomorrow. I told my mum. She said, don't do it. I was like, right, good sign. I went down, took a towel with me, guitar, sat on the floor of the train station. Sat there for like an hour, just strumming before I even sang a word, just like bricking it.
Right.
You know.
Really?
Yeah. And then I started to sing. It was scary at first. And then I started to sing and then money started coming in. And it was, went back with 70 quid, I think it was.
Wow. Mm. Did you like practice like a, You practice like a kind of like a lineup of songs that you're gonna perform and do, or is it just whatever?
No, same as today. I don't have a set list. I just wing it.
Yeah.
Go with the flow. Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever feels good.
I'm guessing you practice for a short term at time at home.
No.
No.
No. Never.
No. You must surprise practice at home like before.
No, the main way I improve is by busking or gigging.
Yeah.
I've even done weddings where. I meant to have learned like a song when they're walking down the aisle, and I haven't learned it. I've listened to it, I've got the words out, and I've winged it while going down the aisle. And it's a proper adrenaline rush for me. Like, if I get this wrong, it ruins the day. Yeah. But when you do it under so much pressure, the words are in your head forever then.
Right.
So if I practice at home, it's like wasted time. But what I found, if I'm in an environment where there's pressure on me to get it right,
yeah.
It sticks in your head forever.
So pressure helps you?
Yeah, but I struggle to get pressure anymore.
Right. Interesting. So what would you say is the most interesting or unexpected experience you've had while busking?
There's so many of these. My favourite one was quite recent. I was paid to busk outside TJ Hughes in Liverpool. There was a new one on the... I can't remember what the street was called. It's near Mackey's.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I was paid to busk outside there. Baz Todd got me that gig. You know Baz Todd? Radio guy?
No.
I do.
Yeah, yeah. You've heard of him, yeah? Yeah. Yeah,
You what have?
That's the photo booth.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Have I?
Yeah, yeah. It's the Wish.com version of James Corden. I ordered James Corden from Wish.com and got Baz Todd in the post, but I sent it back to when he's relevant in the 90s on Rock FM. That's when Baz Todd was most relevant, wasn't it? Rock FM back in the 90s.
Yeah.
These days, he's just, you know, you don't even know who he is. So I was busking outside TJ Hughes for 3 days. On the third day, it was raining and I had an umbrella. Over the mic. I had sunglasses on and headphones. I was setting up, and this guy with tattoos on, by the way, these are fake. This guy, tattoos on, coked up, he'd just been released from prison, comes up. I'm a rapper, just been released from prison. Can I rap on your microphone? And I'm just like, no. And he goes, no, let me rap on your microphone. I said, no. And he goes, I'm gonna go to Southport now, and I'm gonna take your sunglasses. And I said, no, you're not. And then he goes, I'm going to fight you for them. So I basically took my sunglasses off. Sorry, let's do that again. I took my sunglasses off, headphones off, put them by my bag, and just walked straight to him, staring him in the eyes. I made him brick himself. I was like, joking, mate. I was like, joking. And then he disappeared. I got a buzz from that. There's a girl watching. She's seen me the day before. And I told her how much I enjoy conflict. And she managed to witness it. And she actually left during this conflict. She was that scared. But I went to go and see her later in Mackey's. I said, did you enjoy that? And she's like, yeah. When he took your headphones and sunglasses off, he shit himself. He really did. I just did the dead-eyed stare, like.
Your intense stare.
Just right, just. Yeah, because he initiated the conflict.
Yeah.
I can't remove myself from the environment because my gear's there.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't talk him out of it because he's coked up.
Yeah.
The only thing I can do is give him the opportunity to attack me. So I did and he went away. That's the like textbook. That's all you can do. I knew what I was going to do as well. Punch to the sternum, I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favourite busking experience.
So there's a lot of busking...
Yeah, I once tried to go busking during the riots and the police sent me home in Liverpool. I thought maybe I could sing like Imagine in Liverpool, it'll maybe calm people down. But they said
no.
They said don't do that. I went busking a few days later and people were still like getting over the looting and stuff, and a group of chavs once spat at me. And I set down the microphone. A word beginning with C and ending with T, at him. And nothing occurred here.
Yeah.
I just called him. I don't want to say it.
Yeah.
The word, you know the one I mean.
I do know which one you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Cunt.
That's a shouldn't have said it in the first place. He's gone. He's howling. Absolutely howling.
That's the setup for the joke, though. Yeah. It's perfect. I don't want to say it. Go on.
He's gone. So, anyway, moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
So how do you connect with the audience when you perform on the street versus performing in like a venue, like a pub, blah, blah, blah?
Well, it depends on the venue. On the street, it's great. I've got like a way of controlling the street, like involving people. I just comment like what I see. Let's say a girl walks past with a massive set of dogs that she bought like a year before. I'll go, you've got what sort of dogs are they, or whatever, or you're right there, mate. Or I just sort of comment on things and make people smile, and they'll come and give me money. Even if I'm parking up, even at the parking meter, I'll make conversation with someone. I guarantee they'll give me some money later on. It's all about making people smile,
make a connection with someone.
It's all about connecting, like that. So the music part of it is like a something I'm not really interested in at all. So to compensate, I like to really like wing the dynamic of the street and sort of control it. And it's the same at some gigs. It depends on the venue. If I'm in a restaurant, obviously there's certain things I can't say.
Yeah, like cunt.
Like what?
Cunt.
No, like Jimmy Savile or Gary Glitter. But if I'm in like a bigger venue with loads of drunk hooligans or whatever, you know, Hugh Edwards or whatever can come up, no probs.
Yeah.
Is that his name? Yeah, yeah. The one that recently... just for the record, I'm against paedophilia. Oh, on that note, can I just say, give a shout out to Isla. She's 95 years old, and Jazz, she's 61. So
what's the lesson you've learned from Boskim that you wouldn't have learned otherwise, other than obviously having to stand your ground?
I say that is the main one, standing my ground.
What about obviously getting negative people that either don't listen to you or don't enjoy your music, or
oh, do you mean like insults? You? Or like
not even necessarily insults, but just, you know, when you're busking, you're putting yourself out there, aren't you? You're like, this is me. This is what I can do.
Like vulnerability and stuff. Like people don't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one guy I was busking a few years back, and this guy in a cap. And a black top or whatever, and he walked past and he goes, "You shit, mate." And I generally just burst out laughing. So it's so funny just to hear it. And he turned around and looked at me a bit weird. And the next time I went past, he just didn't say anything. It's just stuff like that. I just find insults hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find everything funny.
That's good. It's true. It's a good way to be.
I am shit sometimes. I am a bit of a cunt sometimes. I am amazing sometimes. And whatever people say I am, from their perception.
Who am I
to disagree?
Yeah. Mm. It's their opinion. I guess they're entitled to it, but they don't have to go and shout it in the street, do they?
No, but they're more than welcome to. I welcome it, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please say what you want to me.
Okay.
The trouble is that depending on what you say to me, I will reflect it back twice as strong. So you've got to be careful. But go for it. Yeah. I love it. There was a guy when I was busking, let's say 6 months ago. No, it was in summertime. As I was saying before, I comment on things that are occurring, and two girls hadn't seen each other for ages, and they were sort of behind me, and they were screaming because they were dead excited. So I joined in, screamed because I thought it was nice, and this guy took offence to it. "You're taking the piss out of those girls, mate," I said, and I was knelt down. I said, "No, I was just genuinely thought it was nice, so I thought I'd join in." And he goes, "I'm going to get that guitar and smash it over your head." So that's when I just stood up and said, "Go for it, mate." I just turned around and walked away. And then they were walking past a bit later on. And I went down the microphone. "Guitar still intact, it's not been smashed around my head yet." Like that. Just for everyone who watched the encounter to enjoy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Entertainment value.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not saying I am entertaining, but I am. You can see for yourself, can't you?
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's a good entertainment or not, but it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. It's different.
It's just different. Yeah, it's a word for it, isn't it?
It is. It's very different.
I've been called a few things. Different. Abnormal. Abnormality.
Abnormal.
Bizarre. Absurd.
Yeah.
neurotic.
Mm.
Yeah, a wank.
I'm sure there's a lot of other things as well. There's a list.
Well, actually, on that note, I just need to read this out. Some insults I got this week.
Are you written them down?
No, I just go in the messages.
Okay. Oh, right. People, oh, from people on...
just friends.
Oh, friends, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to name you because then I will be what you said I was, you see. I don't want to actually embarrass you like that. Well, let me just get these up here.
Welcome to intermission.
Mm.
Dum, dum, dum. Dum, 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 dum.
Here we go. No thanks, Narcissus. Yes, you're very attractive. Well done, bully for you. Enjoy your hollow and lame existence, you piece of shit. There's one from my friend who I don't talk to anymore. I don't know how that occurred, but it did. There's another one as well.
Enjoy your hollow and lame existence, yeah. You piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was funny. but she meant it, and... that's fine. There's another great one. I'll just go in here. I won't name you again, but I know you'll be watching because you told me you'll be watching. She wants to not talk to me. She wants to watch me on YouTube. So if you're watching now, then I will read out what you said to me here. But no one will notice you. Don't worry. Where has she gone?
We lost her.
See, well, there we go. Yeah, yeah. She put, I need to find a man. Might go back on Hinge. I put, what's Hinge? Oh, is that a dating app? She goes, it is, yeah. I went, obviously being me, I have the luxury of not needing to do that. I, however, choose just to stay out of the way of females in that way if possible. Because they always seem to end up causing trouble when not intended. Suppose like an alcoholic, isn't it? And she puts, ha ha ha. I said, just stop it at the source. She put, yes. But I put, I suppose I'm the alcohol though, in this metaphor. Meaning the girls are addicted to me. She's put, classic narcissist. I laughed at that because I thought it was funny. I thought she was joking. I put, apart from a narcissist wouldn't joke about it. She put, they might. I put, they'd also get offended by what you just said. I found it amusing. They put, okay. I'll put, anyway, you're welcome to think what you like. She put, when you say you're a sociopath, I believe you. I put, that's correct, I am. You said it yourself. I said, not in the traditional sense, though. Narcissists don't have self-awareness or insight. Some do. She's going for it. Anyway, I'm going now. I put, me too. It's a strange way for the convo to go. However, take care. The next day, I put, morning. Hope you slept well and have a nice day. She put a question mark. Like that. I put, I'm genuinely wishing you a nice day. She's put, Matt, I'll just watch you on YouTube. Thanks from afar. I put, no worries. I think I'll block you. Look after yourself. And then blocked her.
That was it?
Yeah. Jenny, if you're watching. Nice. Great.
Yeah, good. Great conversation.
I get insulted.
That was really lengthy.
I get insulted a lot.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it, yeah.
That's good.
It's weird.
You manage it.
Yeah,
it doesn't affect you personally. That's the important thing.
Yeah, I mean, when will this go out? This podcast? Do you think?
Probably a good six. Probably 6 weeks.
Yeah. So, this will have blown over by then. You see, so these past 2 weeks, I've basically been harassed and rang up by a gangster trying to be intimidated. All for doing nothing. I just went on Facebook and broadcasted it all and just said, go for it, do what you want to do, and let the chips fall where they may. And that's the name of the song I'm releasing for Halloween.
Hmm.
Mm. I just allow people, like, if you want to do something, just try it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Free boots.
Yeah, if someone... like, call the bluff, but literally, if you need to do something to me, go ahead and do it. And just see what occurs.
Yeah.
Mm. No fear.
No fear.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Nothing ever happens.
Never. So we're going to now hop into managing your creativity and ADHD.
Love it. Something I don't actually know about.
Yeah. So if you've enjoyed the first segment, this could get better.
If you're still with us, Jenny, keep watching. And Emma.
So how does ADHD influence your creativity process? Do you see it as a challenge, an advantage, or both?
It's not an advantage. It's a challenge. This is an interesting debate, because ADHD itself is the disorder. Now, people with ADHD can have gifts, but that's not a disorder, is it?
No.
So therefore, by definition, ADHD gets in the way. Mm. You may have gifts, but it's nothing to do with the disorder. I don't think there's a correlation between ADHD and being gifted.
No.
So ask me the question again, and I'll... because I've got something else to say about it.
Okay. How does ADHD influence your creative process?
Oh, yeah. So currently, because obviously I struggle to finish things, I'm releasing 2 separate EPs, part 1, part 2. So I release 5 songs at a time, EP part 2, another 5 songs. Then I may record 3 songs and then turn that into an album in itself. So I'm doing it in chunks and releasing it rather than doing 13 songs at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a way of finishing things.
Yeah. So a strategy that you're following.
Yeah. And obviously, I've had to set it up so my room that I'm in is it's a bedroom, a workout room, and a studio, and it's quite easy to switch it around.
Yeah.
So there's no mess, because when you're getting creative, that's when the room gets messy.
Mm-hmm.
They correlate.
Okay.
Because it's creativity sort of scatter. It's not an organised process being creative. It's like connecting. It's like picking up rubbish in your head, sticking it together. Go, oh, that looks nice.
Yeah.
So it manifests, on the outside as a pigsty. That's a trigger word for people with ADHD. You live in a pigsty. Yeah.
An organised pigsty.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's one way.
Yeah. So do you see it as a challenge or an advantage, or both?
ADHD.
How it influences your creative process.
It's a challenge. It always gets in the way. Yeah. It's awful. Yeah.
End of conversation.
It's a massive challenge. It's a massive challenge. Yeah.
Okay.
Once you have to learn about it, and then everyone's slightly different. So you have to learn what methods work.
For you.
Yeah.
Which hops into my next question.
There are some generalizations though you can use, but you have to, you have to learn about it, which is a long process, and then learn strategies to cope with it, what works.
So what are your strategies? What do you follow to combat it?
Yeah, so on the last one, we talked about live streaming, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Even before this podcast, I live stream myself warming my voice up.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. Just have the people watching. I ended up hanging upside down from a pull-up bar during that.
My voice
just wasn't working. I was like, do you want me to hang upside down on the pull-up bar? So I did that with me moon boots or whatever they're called.
Yeah, your hooking boot things that you sent me a picture of.
Yeah. So let me just think. Oh, yeah, so when I'm setting up a recording session, one thing I've learned, you've got to colour-code every single track, different colour. You've got to spend the time putting the different instruments in it so you can visually see where everything is. Otherwise, the energy in your executive function part of the brain just gets burnt out. And I also say the use of AI is great for the creativity process. Certain plugins that you just press a button and it'll do in 10 seconds what would take you a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm. Is that an acceptable answer, Alan?
That's an acceptable answer, Matthew.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you know about that I don't?
In relation to?
The question.
No.
No, good.
Because as far as I'm aware, I don't
you'd have
ADHD.
To remind
me.
Yeah. You'd have to remind me. I've got a great system set up now.
The only thing that obviously I see that you do is your live feeds and stuff like that.
I'll say one thing about my strategy, and that I did mention it on the last podcast, was ergonomics and low entropy.
You did remember? Mention that last time. Yeah, you did, yeah.
And the point of that is, my philosophy on this, which I came up with, is the less things that can be moved in a room, the less chance you've got of making a mess. And that sounds obvious, doesn't it? So I'm going to talk about washing my clothes. It's nothing to do with music. But for me, it takes an hour to have my clothes washed and hung up. How long does it take you to do your washing?
Longer.
Exactly. So I've cut out the middleman.
Sure.
Yeah, so I have a laundry basket by what I'm going to tell you in a minute. Take it down, put it in the washing machine, 45 minutes. Come back upstairs and I've got hotel hangers that you can't remove on a pole.
Right.
Just hang my clothes up and they just dry overnight.
Okay.
Simple.
That's it, okay.
Yeah, so there's no like hanging up on the washing line.
And then take it back off again.
Yeah, because less chance of getting distracted. It's more, you take steps out. It's just directly to the washing machine, back upstairs, on the hangers. I can't remove the hangers because they're fixed to a pole. So okay. I can't make a mess. I was just sick of seeing hangers everywhere.
It's frustrating.
Well, there's just like, stuff everywhere. Like, how do I solve that issue?
Yeah.
So I'm at the stage now where I'm at the point where I can record successfully without all this stuff getting
being
in
distracted.
The way.
I understand.
That's where the ADHD comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Chaos around you getting in the way of you doing things.
So do you get creative blocks? So when you're putting time into to obviously create like a song or like your LP at the moment that will
EP,
but we'll hop into more soon. Do you get blocks in that?
I've currently got a block right now, yeah. If I do get a block, there's certain things I can do.
But I mean, I guess from what you just said about changing your clothing situation, that is you, I guess, managing what could potentially be a block.
It's more like an obstacle.
Yeah.
Of getting in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't really plan to be creative.
No.
But if you've set your space up so that when you do get a spark of creativity that you can actually get it done.
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That makes sense to the viewers, that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny and Emma. Cheers for the insults.
So has there been moments where your ADHD has affected your musical like career in unexpected ways?
Not in unexpected ways, but one thing I will say about this year and the increase in gigs is I concentrate on one thing only, and that was I've got just a wall planner, and every time I get a gig, I just write it like with a Sharpie on it. These yearly planners, because the whole year in one glance, that solves time blindness. I may have mentioned that in the last podcast, if you remember, which was back in November. I remember. The 5th of November.
Was it the 5th of November?
No, it was the end of November, wasn't it?
Oh,
I was pretending it was the end of January, though.
Okay. You were, because we were talking about Christmas. You said, how was it?
Yeah,
I remember that.
Right, what was I talking about then?
How ADHD has affected... Oh, your wall planner.
Yeah, yeah. So the one thing I've concentrated on is being reliable for agents. And I've realised one such simple thing. And that is if you are low stress or less maintenance or less hassle for an agent, they're much more likely to book you and come to you. Because they've got like 30 or 50 acts in a day. If you mess them around, they're not going to book you.
Yeah.
That's it makes so much sense if you're just... any females watching, if you're low maintenance, your man will stay around. And it's a similar process to what I've learned with gigs. If I'm low maintenance for agents, I'll get booked.
A public service announcement by Matthew Fairvon.
Yeah, yeah. The wish.com of Jamie is laughing over there, guys.
He's hysterics.
It's truth. I'm speaking truth.
He's been cracked up this whole episode.
This is experience, life experience talking here. Yeah. And Jamie knows it. He's not called Jamie, he's called Morgan.
Yeah, he is. Hesketh.
Mm. You're gluten-free, aren't you?
I am, because I'm celiac.
Gluten Morgan.
Yeah,
for any Germans watching.
He really likes some dry food, doesn't he?
Mm.
He really enjoys a dry food.
If Tony Link is watching from Germany.
When he says, is that food really dry? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I'll have it then. He like, really likes dry food. Mm. I don't get a choice. He's got a choice.
I've got a fan in Germany, Marcel. He's cool. He gives me good advice. And I've nothing against Germans at all. Austrians, you look out for them. Hitler was Austrian, wasn't he?
So it was Arnold. We share birthdays too.
Yeah, yeah. You share birthdays?
Yeah. Arnold's birthday the same day as mine.
When's his birthday?
30th of July.
When's yours?
30th of July. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I've nothing wrong with, I don't mind Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he's like, for someone with, like with his speech impediment, he's done incredibly well.
What's your favourite quote?
From Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
I'll be back.
How long are you going to pitch? I'll be back.
It's a classic. I couldn't think of any more.
No. Bob Dryden there, top of your head.
He says it in every movie, doesn't he?
He does. Well, not all of them.
I'm more of a Sylvester Stallone
There's
fan.
There's so many, it's like, well, who's your daddy and what does he do? Mm. That's a good one.
No, I'm a Sylvester Stallone fan more than...
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. I love the Rocky movies.
He's definitely juiced up a little, wasn't he?
I'm well into the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the Rocky music? Does it get you going?
Go on.
Does it get you going?
Like, I only heard 5 seconds of it.
Yeah, but when you hear the Rocky music,
yeah, it
fires you up, doesn't it?
Yeah. If I'm boxing with a client, I'll
it's like a performance-enhancing drug, isn't it?
I'll put it in the studio. Yeah. Or Hearts on Fire, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
The Rocky music is fantastic.
Yeah. For our workout, stick a Rocky montage on.
Well, quite often for me is Linkin Park, to be honest. I'll put Linkin Park on and gets me going.
Which song...
We're not one more light.
I was just going to say that. You beat me for the joke.
Not one more light now.
Yeah.
A bit of numb, breaking the habit is a good one. In the end, that's the original classic, isn't it?
I wouldn't know, mate.
So many.
I'm not really a fan. I never listened to them.
Yeah, you're missing out. Mm. Fantastic.
I've missed out.
Oh, they're bad together, mate.
Not completely, but yeah.
Well, they can't be. Mm. But... Change isn't always negative.
It's inevitable.
It is. So obviously we just briefly kind of hopped into a little bit about your EP.
Oh yeah.
And you're doing two parts, so five songs and a break into the five songs, then to make it.
Yeah.
Album.
So if you release like five songs on Spotify, they automatically class it as an EP.
Yeah.
Same on iTunes. I don't necessarily agree with releasing things on Spotify or iTunes, but I will be doing it.
Yeah.
Just because it's easy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So the EP is called Craving a Reunion, Longing Ardently, which mm-hmm. is an interesting choice of words, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's, yes, it follows a sort of an archetypal story of like forbidden romance, let's call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost as if it's a true story.
Mm.
Cloaked in metaphors and stuff.
Fantastic.
And hidden messages, yeah.
Only you know.
I told you before the podcast.
Yeah. So what brought this on? Was it, you know, it's been obviously coming for a while, but you've had this spurt recently. It's just been the right time.
I just started writing about experiences, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And the theme of the EP, well, the two EPs, is a common theme that people don't necessarily talk about.
Okay.
That's what I say about that.
Okay.
So people can relate to it, but it's not talked about much.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's a different.
Yeah. And I won't be talking about it either.
No.
No.
And what about the Halloween one you were telling me about before that you're using AI?
So that's called Let the Chips Fall Where They May, which I did say before, down the lens.
Yeah.
And that's a quote from Fight Club. Do you know that?
I didn't actually know.
A lot of the lyrics of that are from Fight Club. It's got the F. It's got six F-bombs in it. Have you seen Fight Club?
Of course I have.
You seen the scene where he puts the alkaline burn on his hand?
Alkaline burn on his hand.
Like from the soap, it's lie.
Right.
And he's going, fuck damnation, fuck redemption, we are God's wanted children, so be it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's some of the lyrics of the song.
Oh, right, okay.
Have you seen the movie Nobody?
Is it horror?
No, he's the guy from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Bob Odenkirk. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, I don't think I have.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah. Right.
What's that? Yeah. So, in that particular movie, he's got a tattoo. Right, he's a bad guy of the Two of Diamonds and Seven of Spades,
mm-hmm.
which represents in this is in the song, by the way. I do mention that in Texas Hold'em Poker, it's the worst hand you can get.
Okay.
And this song's about going all in with the worst hand possible. Let the chips fall where they may. It's almost like going all in on a very unlikely relationship and just going, oh, fuck it.
Going for it.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing did.
No. Right, okay. Yeah. spoiler alert.
Yeah, but when you go in, all in, you've got the worst hand possible. You know, it's a risk.
Yeah, it is a risk.
Yeah, yeah, it's a gamble.
There's the many risks of life that can translate to many things, can't it? Not just just a relationship.
Mm. Well, I wouldn't know about that in this song, personally.
No.
Fair enough. Yeah, so it's just, I don't want to go too deep into the song.
No.
But I'll talk about the video.
Yeah, yeah.
An interesting concept. Using AI, I've come up with a bizarre concept, which is reminiscent. It's sort of like a manifestation of me as a vampire looking over a young girl, as a guardian angel, but as a vampire. And then she comes of age and gets a bit older. And then I become like a romantic figure. I wasn't grooming her. It's not real, it's AI video. It's AI, a vampire, yeah. But it represents me doing different roles in my life concurrently. But in the video, it's over a span of one person's life. Yeah. So then she'll get old. Well, she'll push me around and run away. I've not got to that part of the video yet. That's what girls do. They just run away. And I agree that they should. Then she gets old and he's going to care for her. And then she'll die. He'll go look over a grave. It's a very uplifting song. And then she'll become an angel, I think, possibly at the end. It's an interesting concept, and I'm not sure it'll work. But
you're going to test the water, can't you?
I'm following David Bowie's advice.
Which was what?
Don't play to the gallery.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't play to people's expectations.
Okay.
Go a little bit further in. I can't remember the exact quote. Yeah. Go a little bit further in the water than you're comfortable in, and when your feet are just off the floor, mm-hmm. that's when you're the time to do something exciting.
Okay.
Right. And I've got a real string quartet on it. That's been a dream of mine for years.
Amazing.
String quartet, yeah.
Yeah.
So I fulfilled it. It's
fantastic. And that's all been through AI?
The string quartet?
No, the video itself.
Video, yeah. It's text to video.
Right.
It's crazy. I've run out of credits, so I have to wait till the 3rd of October to complete the video. But you simply just type in anything you want, and it'll sometimes come back with something good, sometimes not. It can be a bit dodgy.
Okay. Like
someone's face might just go all weird, and that hand might come out of the face. So you have to it's all weird.
Just like Deadpool and Wolverine. This year.
So I just, at the beginning, I just typed in girl walks into graveyard at night. And then there was a girl walking into graveyard at night. I thought, oh, great.
Oh, cool.
Watch light, add to it next. And I thought, I'll put a bat in there. And then by the time I got to the end of the first chorus, I was like, oh, she's starting to age throughout the video, and I've got a concept now. So I was just winging it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there we go.
Fantastic.
We're having a massive tangent there. You're going to have a big job here, mate.
Always.
Do you pay him or not? Is it for free?
Oh, we do each other favours, don't we, Morgan?
Mm-hmm. Can I get on it? Is it Hesketh Park on a Friday night?
That's his park.
Ecky Park on a Friday night. That's where I go. With Lewis Jake, my secret homosexual affair with Lewis Jake. Everyone knows him.
Is so when does your EP come out?
Great question.
Thank you.
Knowing you, probably before this podcast.
Oh, stabbed right in the back.
Yeah, yeah. So I will be obviously this single will be released before Halloween.
Okay. It will be before this podcast.
Yeah, there's one song on the album that I've not quite finished yet. It's called Forbidden Friend. It's at the very beginning. The rest of it is written. It just needs to be recorded. And it's
fabulous. So, in average, about 3 or 4 weeks, a single coming out then.
The single?
Yeah.
Or the EP?
I think you said the single, didn't you?
Yeah, the single. I could release the single now, you see, if I wanted to. Just stick it out. But I'm going to wait for the video to be complete.
Okay.
First. And then, yeah, get out of there. Before Halloween.
Before Halloween.
Otherwise, the vampire makes no sense, does it?
No.
No.
You can't have that.
But there's no point promoting that now, because this is now after Halloween, when you're watching it.
Yeah, this is true.
Because it's 6 weeks from now, apparently.
Correct. That'll be true this time.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be true this time.
So you can now go on Spotify and see what I've put on there. Just type in Matthew Fearon. and I'll pop up.
Where else? Spotify?
It'll be on all digital platforms. Yeah.
Amazon Music?
It'll be on that, yeah. It'll be on everything.
YouTube?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be on everything. I'd simply just...
Apple Music?
Yeah. It'll be on everything. Yeah. I go through a website called TuneCore. Yeah. You just... And it releases it to everything.
So it's very much like RSS feed, like what I do with the podcasts.
Yeah. But I will be doing physical...
Yeah.
Albums and maybe even vinyl.
Fab.
Just because it's cool vinyl. For nerds, isn't it?
Yeah.
Vinyl nerds awesome. Love that sort of stuff, so...
Yeah.
The real money in music or songs and stuff is CDs. People still use CDs and when I'm busking. Online streaming is shouldn't be done.
No.
But I'm doing it anyway.
Cool. So what's next for you? So obviously you got the EP coming and then I'm guessing you'll have obviously we say second half of the EP will be what, toward Christmas time or next year? Or
it'd be as soon as it's all written.
It's all written. Done. That'll sound.
Yeah,
okay.
It follows a narrative. So yeah. I'll have EP part one.
Cool.
EP part two.
Fantastic.
Then I may do another three songs and then take that those two EPs and the three songs, create a full album from it.
Amazing.
And then I've got loads and loads and loads of back catalogue of stuff to get recorded.
Amazing.
And an album from lockdown, which people donated to that I've still not finished. That's a long time ago.
Right.
But I will be doing that straight after this, yeah.
Awesome. You got plenty to be working on.
Too much.
Yeah.
Mm.
Awesome. Mm. So what's next for you? I can see you looking intensely at our listeners down there. The camera there. So what else is on our next page for you? So obviously the EP's coming, which are exciting. You told the guys where to find you there. What else is on the agenda for you? Apart from obviously touring, continuing to gig and...
Busking again.
Yeah.
Simple. There's nothing else really to do. What? Where are we now? What month?
So it's September. We're not quite. It's October next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a residency back in Cardiff. I'm there sort of like 2 weekends of every month residency in a nice bar resort currently.
Right.
As long as I don't mess it up this time like I did last time, but I managed to get that. Back, which is great.
Cool.
That's a great little gig. The drive's a bit of a...
I think you tell me about the drive.
Yeah.
Like a bit ago.
Yeah, the drive gets me. Yeah. But, Sunday coming back's cool.
Yeah.
But the drive down gets me every time, yeah. But it's a nice gig, that.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's a spa resort for golfers, so it's a weird crowd because it's like mostly men.
Yeah.
And you expect... It's like from 11 to 1 p.m. in the 1 a.m. in the morning. You'd expect it's a room of rowdy men, but they're dead polite.
That's nice.
It's like really polite football players, like or football fans, like because they're golfers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's like hooligans in chinos.
Right. would you say so? If we're coming toward the end now.
Yeah.
Is there so if someone wants to come and wants to watch you play, have you got any? I know obviously you said different places last time where you were regularly performing. At the moment, is there any place that you're consistently performing? Where would someone come and find you if they want to see you in person?
By the time this podcast goes out,
yeah,
I will have my website up and running and all organised. You'll be able to see all my gig dates on there.
Or
simply MatthewFearon.com. Simple as that.
Where's it going live?
It's already live now. There's just nothing on it. It's been live for years, mate.
Oh, of course, okay.
MatthewFearon.com. Awesome. To find everything there. Maybe I'll have my other social media accounts up and running, but as you know, when you've mentioned it, I've gone, I can't think about that, mate.
Yeah.
Doing music right now.
Doing one thing at a time, yeah.
Yeah.
Get the music there, then you can work on the other bits.
Yeah.
To get people to your music, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
In essence, is what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
But you have to have something there first before getting a following, don't you?
Exactly.
And I don't really want a following or care about it, but...
But it comes with it.
It will happen anyway,
it's
yeah.
How it grows.
The song I've done sounds great.
Yeah.
The first one.
Sweet. Looking forward to doing it. Mm. So, anything else you want to add, mate?
Mm.
Anything else you want to add?
Keith Zander, the guy with the hook for a hand. He's awesome. Going to go and see him tonight, hopefully.
Awesome.
You know Keith Zander, yeah?
I think you told me about him last time.
Yeah, born with one hand. Plays guitar with a hook. Zander and the Peace Pirates. He rocks.
Yeah, you mentioned that last time.
Amazing.
On the last cast, yeah. That's my stuff as well.
Yeah, no worries. Anything else to add? Yeah, Jay Irvin. I still don't talk to him. He's the guy I blocked from my live stream. Yeah, I still haven't talked to him.
Okay.
Yeah, blocked for life, mate.
Fab.
I just get a little jab in there.
Passive aggressive jab towards Jay.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Awesome, mate.
Nothing else to add.
Awesome. Fantastic. So you're going to perform one of your songs in a minute, so we'll probably wrap up with that. Do you want to introduce your song?
I'm not sure which one I'm going to do yet. Before the other one, it's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. I just don't know where it is.
It's later on, isn't it?
Earlier on, probably. Right, we're rolling. All right. 25-minute timer. Bum, 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 bada, bum, bum. Okay.
Hey, Jamie.
So we're going to now hop into managing your creativity and ADHD.
Love it. Something I don't actually know about.
Yeah. So if you've enjoyed the first segment, this could get better.
If you're still with us, Jenny, keep watching. And Emma.
So how does ADHD influence your creativity process? Do you see it as a challenge, an advantage, or both?
It's not an advantage. It's a challenge. This is an interesting debate, because ADHD itself is the disorder. Now, people with ADHD can have gifts, but that's not a disorder, is it?
No.
So therefore, by definition, ADHD gets in the way. Mm. You may have gifts, but it's nothing to do with the disorder. I don't think there's a correlation between ADHD and being gifted.
No.
So ask me the question again, and I'll, because I've got something else to say about it. That I'll
okay. How does ADHD influence your creative process?
Oh yeah. So currently, because obviously I struggle to finish things, I'm releasing two separate EPs, part one, part two. So I release 5 songs at a time, EP part two, another 5 songs. Then I may record 3 songs and then turn that into an album in itself. So I'm doing it in chunks and releasing it, rather than doing 13 songs at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a way of finishing things.
Yeah. So a strategy that you're following.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, I've had to set it up so my room that I'm in is it's a bedroom, a workout room, and a studio. And it's quite easy to switch it around.
Yeah.
So there's no mess. Because when you're getting creative, that's when the room gets messy.
Mm-hmm.
They correlate.
Okay.
Because it's creativity sort of scatter. It's not an organised process being creative. It's like connecting. It's like picking up rubbish in your head, sticking it together. Go, that looks nice.
Yeah.
So it manifests, on the outside as a pigsty. That's a trigger word for people with ADHD. You live in a pigsty. Yeah.
An organised pigsty.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that that's one way.
Yeah. So do you see it as a challenge or an advantage, or both?
ADHD.
How it influences your creative process.
It's a challenge. It always gets in the way. Yeah. It's awful. Yeah.
End of conversation.
It's a massive challenge. It's a massive challenge. Yeah.
Okay.
Once you have to learn about it, and then everyone's slightly different. So you have to learn what methods work.
For you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which hops into my next question.
There are some generalizations though you can use, but you have to learn about it, which is a long process, and then learn strategies to cope with it. What works.
So what are your strategies? What do you follow to combat it?
Yeah, so on the last one we talked about live streaming, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Even before this podcast, I live stream myself warming my voice up.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise I wouldn't do it. Just have the people watching. Ended up hanging upside down from a pull-up bar during that.
Because my voice
just wasn't working. I was like, do you want me to hang upside down on the pull-up bar? So I did that with me moon boots, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, your hooking boot things that you sent me a picture of.
Yeah. So let me just think. Oh, yeah, so when I'm setting up a recording session, one thing.
All right, thank you for tuning in, guys. Thank you again, Matthew, for coming on today. Truly appreciate it.
I do apologise.
it's been a cracking one once again. Be cool to kind of hop into your music and that. Talk about your new EPs and coming out. So it's very exciting. As I said, Matthew's given you all the details on where to find him, where to follow him. So again, thank you for tuning in, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. Been a great episode. We'll catch you again sometime soon, Matthew.
Chris Cashwell as well. Shout out to you, mate.
I see you after that.